Welcome to the ABC edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're discussing Tad and Dixie's heavenly reunion, I guess that's what you'd call it, Dorian taking over at Buchanan Enterprises, and I might actually have something nice to say about Sam, so stay tuned. We're going to save the Sam stuff for last because it will guarantee that all the people who have been, like, hating on me for not saying anything nice about Sam will tune in through the entire episode. So
hating on you?
Well, they got on us about our girls' night out rant on Sam.
Okay,
they
but
got on us
I get it. I've been getting it. Okay, not necessarily just hating on me, but I've been getting it the longest, shall we say. Welcome, Tina. Welcome, Nikki.
Hello.
Hello, you.
Oh, okay. Belinda's gone this week, and we wish her a speedy recovery. She will be back hopefully next week. Nikki is filling in for her this week because of that, so it should be fun to discuss what's going on. Let's take a shot at All My Children, because there is something that happened this week, and we discussed it in an earlier episode, in fact, the one with Nikki and Meredith, but Tad and Dixie's heavenly reunion, where we got to watch them grow old together, or almost grow old together. I'm not exactly sure how that was all played out, because quite honestly, it creeped the living hell out of me. I don't know why, it just did.
This to me is a case of be careful what you wish for, you just might get it.
I still do not understand why she had to come back in this form, period. Jesse, we've seen Jesse. I know why she did, but when Jesse, we've seen Jesse as a ghost, and then he comes back in real life, I do not find this implausible excuse of a reason for bringing her back as a ghost, as opposed to just bringing her back and having it so that the pancake killer didn't actually kill her, take place. Now, everybody knows, I'm not a fan of Dixie. I love Katie McLean as Rosanna. If I had my choice, I would always rather have Katie McLean as Rosanna than Dixie. But, for the honor of this show and the history of it, if you're going to have Katie McLean back in the role of Dixie, you do not bring her back as a ghost, no matter how much fun it is to watch her haunt Adam. You bring her back as Dixie.
I think the whole ghost trend altogether in all soaps these days have been a little overdone. Seriously. General Hospital, what? They kill off all the quartermains, but hey, they're still there in spirit.
John Abbott?
Exactly.
Well, you gotta realize the Adam Allen thing on General Hospital was a response to fan outcry. That was nothing more than a way to appease the fans and, you know, for the powers that be to attempt to save face.
But well, over I can understand
the mistake they made.
But it's
I
still
can understand occasional thing, but it's like a constant thing now. There's all these dead people walking around on every soap, and it's kind of creepy.
Well, and it also doesn't explain why they couldn't have figured out a realistic way for Dixie to come back for a short amount of time alive.
Here's why that they didn't do it in my opinion. I've been watching soaps for a long time, and the problem that always happens when certain characters leave is that the fans are always clamoring for that character to come back. Once these characters these people hit a certain point with a character, they become like a legacy type of character, and the fans are always wanting them to return. So, you know, they attempted to take care of what you may call the Dixie issue once and for all by killing her. But her murder was so absurd, and because they didn't bother to tie up the rest of the storyline that went with it, i.e. that, you know, Kate was still out there and they didn't, you know, and Tad didn't know, it really, you know, leaves the fans hanging. And the fans have, you know, they want this closure. They want it to be done. They want it to be finished. So they determined to bring Katie back, and let's make her a ghost and make Tad find, you know, Kate, and let's reunite them and have a happy family, and then we can finally let the character of Dixie die forever. And the fans won't ask for her back anymore.
Not for nothing. That's the point. Not for nothing, but I think it's absurd. The reasoning is absolutely, without question, absurd.
Yeah, but do you think
especially,
I'm wrong?
Think you're wrong in what?
That's the reasoning behind it?
Well, I'm sure that's the reasoning behind it, but I still say it's absurd. No question about it. Especially then, if you were telling me rumors that are going around the internet now about how, okay, we discussed this a little bit with Nikki and Meredith, but how Katie McClain was the lead contender, possibly, for the role of Haley on Guiding Light. Well, today you go
Harley.
I'm getting all the Haleys and Harleys mixed up on Guiding Light.
My bitterness.
And
I'm
about to make it a little bit easy on you, Nikki. Today, Tina tells me that now Franz doesn't want to let her go to CBS, and she may, rumors, no guarantee that this is happening, end up as Kelly on One Life to Live. Why in the hell would you have her as Kelly on One Life to Live, which isn't necessarily the greatest character, at least in the incarnations that I've watched it as, in the first place, be recast by a lead actress like Katie McClain, who should be on All My Children? Makes no sense to me.
Well, here's what happened. They have come to the conclusion that having a character return to their soap as somebody different, i.e. Sarah Brown, did not work.
Well, yeah, it doesn't help when the other character is being currently portrayed by someone else.
Right. So now, to bring Katie on screen as somebody new is probably really not going to fly. So what are they going to do? They can't put her on All My Children. That leaves General Hospital and One Life to Live. And you have, two soaps shot on two different coasts. She's obviously a New Yorker, so now this automatically means that One Life to Live is the final choice.
I still maintain One Life to Live is a cop-out when she could be on All My Children.
I think it would be easier for her to be on All My Children as a different character as opposed to the Sarah Brown thing because Dixie's not on canvas.
Hell, she could have come back as Di. If you really wanted to bring her back as another character, she could have come back as Di, and they might have actually pulled that one off and then have it turn out to be Dixie with amnesia or something. Except for maybe she was too old for the Fusion Girls, but who cares about that part?
Regardless, this was the decision that was made by the powers that be. From what I understand, Franz was really, really surprised that people were so interested in the Tad and Dixie thing because in his mind, when Dixie died, there was nothing left there. And he can't believe fans have been clamoring for this to be, shut out and closed out and how well they're doing in focus groups and I don't know what else.
Speaking of Fusion, though, I mentioned it a bit briefly a moment ago. It looks like Levin Rabin is out. She's decided to leave All My Children, which doesn't come as much of a surprise for those of us who read the various rumor sources online, and it was just a matter of time before it became confirmation. It was sort of like the biggest non-secret there was, if that makes sense. What do you guys think of it? Will this be a loss for All My Children? Tina, then Nikki?
Levin being gone from All My Children, is that a loss? I don't think so.
Okay. I think the loss of Lily will be a – will there be a loss for Lily?
Lily, yes. I think Lily will be missed, and they're not killing this character off in any way, shape, or form. They're sending her off to MIT from what I understand, and there will be absolutely no explanation for Ava's disappearance, but she'll just be gone, which seems to be what All My Children does now.
That's what they did to Jonathan. Well, this is on top of something that really, really has irritated me for years, actually, and that's that Jeff Branson was completely just not taking advantage of the amazing talent he has, because he was a phenomenal actor, should have gotten the Emmy time and time again, and there was so much they could have done with his character, and they just dropped it, and then
they should have turned him into a villain.
Gone. They should have. He played a good villain. But they should have done something with him because he was an extremely talented actor. Now he's not on there anymore, and they didn't even give him an exit story. So that kind of irritates me.
And once again, the wrong labor leaves.
Well, we all know that's how you feel. But to be perfectly honest, this is something that ABC has been doing now for quite some time. Just sending off the wrong people. I don't know.
I could write a list of the people on All My Children I would rather see gone.
I'm not even just talking All My Children. I'm talking about that this is an ABC issue straight across the board.
True. I would agree with that. Well, one person who's leaving that I'm not missing in terms of the character, Julia died. And I have to say, ding dong, she's dead. Let's break out the champagne.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, I
that's
felt
a little harsh.
Spencer died. I don't know that, you know, I felt quite like that about Julia.
Well, Julia just annoyed me because once again, she was one of those, she was one of those characters that was an 80s super couple who came back that they did a half-assed job in bringing her back. They should have waited until they could bring Noah back and to have her be with her or not bring her back at all, because it's once again one of those pairings or characters that just doesn't have the spark or whatever it supposedly did the first time around. And they did her a disservice by bringing her back and not doing anything with her and not waiting until Noah was back. And she ended up being the most boring, pointless character on the show ever. And then, to add insult to injury, I will never forgive that character for letting Jonathan live in the mansion. Ever. He killed her brother-in-law, and she let him live in his home. No person, no matter how forgiving, would let the murderer of your brother-in-law live in your home.
Come on, this is soaps.
I don't care. I do not care.
I think what they should have done is they should have had Noah come back and lead her into the afterlife with him or something. You know, give the fans of that couple from way back in the day some sort of closure on it.
Well, you know what kind of happens? I think they kind of were so focused on the Jesse and Angie storyline and getting that history pretty, you know, pretty well done. And, you know, they knew they were rewriting history, but they had to be careful on how they did it. And they were paying so much attention to that that they kind of forgot half of the rest of the cast.
Very true.
And that has been evident.
Yes.
Star being pregnant. There was once rumors out there that she was going to give her kids to Marcy and Michael. After this last week's episode, boy, did I get overtones of that. After she walked out of the bathroom stall after having heard Marcy pour out her soul to Michael on the bathroom floor. To me, it was like, okay, if that isn't clobbering us over the head with a metal with an anvil about the fact that Star is going to give up the baby to Marcy and Michael, then I don't know what is. And so to me, it was like, well, okay, if that's going to be the summer's teen pregnancy storyline, she's going to be pregnant and she's going to end up giving it to Marcy and Michael, and Todd's going to hate it, but what can he do?
I seriously doubt that that's ever going to happen. Well, Blair wouldn't
just say
even
Marcy
let...
deserves it, because Kathy Breyer has been phenomenal. Oh my God.
Oh, she has been. She definitely hit it out of the park. No offense to Chris Stack, but it was like she was the only one in the room.
She's doing amazing stuff, and if the freaking Emmy system wasn't so screwed up, she would have been nominated this year because she deserved it.
You know, it makes you wonder if maybe that's part of the reason why ratings as a whole have gone down maybe in the past couple weeks. Maybe people are fed up by this whole thing.
Very well could be. I mean, you got to think about it. One Life to Live, the last 6 months of last year, they really started hitting the right notes. Their actors gave really great performances, especially some in like the younger actress category and what have you. And now, you know, the Emmy season rolls around and you end up with, what, three from Young and the Restless?
Who are never on screen.
But not for nothing, to give these shows the benefit of the doubt, we're also coming into the summer season, and ratings usually take a dip during the summer. People are more active during their lives, they've got things going on, they're not at home watching soaps like they may be in the fall and the winter. So, I mean, that there could be a little bit of, like, the calendar year thing playing into this. But as a whole, there, I mean, things are trending downwards.
They're trending downward because people just aren't home anymore.
And I think that DVRs, didn't we have this discussion before? DVRs on soaps are only live plus one.
Mm-hmm.
And primetime and primetime shows are either live plus three or live plus seven. So
I think DVR should be plus seven, just in period, because some people, you know, they may record it Monday through Friday, and now they're only watching it on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, I totally.
That's what I do.
I totally agree with you, but I'm just saying, currently right now, primetime has more of a grace period than daytime does, and that doesn't seem to make – why in the world that makes sense when daytime is the one that you have to put the most emphasis in on to have to watch 5 hours of one program? Is beyond me. Doesn't make sense at all.
I have no idea. I don't know if it's because they want, you know, a way for the networks. I've heard that some networks definitely want to get out of the soap business. It's expensive to run them, you know, 5 days a week because, I mean, you have to realize they produce more original content than anything else that we see.
Well,
true.
Moving on to David and Dorian, the previews for this week look absolutely amazing. Dorian is coming in, and you were telling me it's the Santa Barbara. What is it?
It's the Alexis Carrington hat. Anybody who ever watched Dynasty?
There you go.
That ever saw, you know, Alexis with the big... It's like a black, and it has this netting, and it was only shown in a flash, but it looks like it has a little bit of gray or white around the brim. And from what I understand, from what I read on some spoilers, she has the long gloves. Every inch the rich bitch mogul, shall we say. And I'm definitely liking what's going on.
Well, and you were telling me that supposedly I was reading it. You gave me the link for me to read it. But supposedly she's going to be turning Buchanan Enterprises into Kramer Enterprises, which is awesome. Totally, totally awesome. Love that.
See, this is one of those quirks I've always found about Dorian because she's always talking about how she's a Kramer woman. She's a Kramer woman. She's a Kramer woman. But she will not let go of that Lord last name.
This is true.
I absolutely love the fact that she's going to turn it into Kramer Enterprises. She's going to stick it to Jared. She's going to take over the company. Screw Clint, not literally, but figuratively. And
she already did it literally. So.
I was going to say.
I was trying to be gracious, but okay. I think it's just shaping up to be a great summer. And then when all the returns start going, now I did miss something in the move and with me being sick, and which I'm still recovering. I apologize to people who may not recognize my voice, but did they actually successfully steal the crown jewels?
Yes.
So how are they getting them back?
Well, that's going to be the big adventure.
Oh, okay. So
there's got to be a summer adventure. Come on.
Well, whose big adventure is it?
Well, it depends on who spoilers you believe, but it looks like it's going to be Antonio and Talia and Chris and Sarah and Tina and Jonas and a few other people mixed in.
I thought David Pimero was possibly leaving.
He very well may be, but he probably won't do that until the end of his contract.
Oh, okay. I see.
You gotta realize he's got a wife now, and she's gonna be. I believe she's already taped her last scenes.
You know, that is one character I am going to miss, Adriana, and I never, ever, ever thought I would see the day where I'd say that. But I am.
You're gonna miss Bitchy Bangs.
Oh, most definitely, most definitely. That Ron Carlovati has done more to rehab some of these characters on this show. It's unbelievable. He made Antonio likable. And then he made him not so likable, and then he made him likable back again. He rehabilitated Vicky. He made Adriana interesting for the first time in umpteen years. You just start going down the list of what he's been doing for these characters, and it's great.
He's really good at giving a nod to history. I mean, Dorian's sitting there. She's been injecting Charlie, and she's keeping him prisoner, and she's about to pour vodka down his gullet. And all of a sudden, she stops to apologize to Mel. It was like, wow. She actually, you know, they actually remembered history. It was great. Great moment.
Which is something that's rare anymore for them for a show to give a nod to history.
So what do you think of having David Vickers back?
That's always entertaining.
Watching Blair walking in, looking at Addie and David in their yoga pose. Wow. That was great.
What did you think of the fact that she's basically Addie and... I don't know what it is with David and older women, but he sure knows how to land them. He is a cougar hunter.
Well, I guess he just has that...
that appeal.
Yes. I guess that'll work.
Okay.
Like the I'm going to make you feel younger because I act like I'm five, but I'm really good at it type of appeal.
Well, speaking of people acting like they're five, what did you think of Todd's court case this last week?
All right, so Todd's court case, let's see. Todd loses, which is always a great thing. I was sitting there and I was waiting while Marco's on the stand and he's sitting talking about how, you know, Todd hung him on the meat hook. And I was just waiting for somebody to say, yeah, like Sonny does.
Or like Michael. Michael, what's his name? All my children. Cambius, there we go.
Cambius.
Yeah. I remember that.
You know, what is it? Every soap now it has to have somebody who hangs someone on a meat hook?
Maybe they're trying to get him ready for that that meat hook movie that's coming out this summer. Where, like, you're in the subway and I don't know.
Oh, I know. I saw the previews to that. Oy.
It looks absolutely terrible. But anyways, well, let's move on to General Hospital real quick. Because Sonny's out of the mob. Jason's taken over it. Maxie is awesomely bitchy. Alexis
and
is trying.
Slutty.
And slutty. But, I mean, hey, who cares? It's Maxie. We sort of expected this. Alexis is trying to get sole custody and all legal rights to Christina. And Sam and Spinelli are sort of awesome. So, what do you guys think of the whole Sonny being out of the mob and Jason taking over dynamic?
Well, as I said in the other podcast, first of all, it's not going to last. It never does. He's tried to, get himself out how many times now, and he's always ends up right back where he started. But, again, like I said before, I think he should be a bag boy at Walmart. I think that's a good temporary job for him.
Tina, what do you think?
What, Sonny out of the mob? Let's see how long it lasts this time.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
As for Jason, he's looking a bit creepy, standing there staring down Anthony Zakhar while he's burning his house down.
Well, you know, I really wish GH would spring for some new sets because the little, you know, forecourt or wherever Trevor rolled Anthony to looks just like the entryway to, you know, Sonny's mausoleum.
Well, the whole Zakhar mansion is basically one wing of the Windermere.
I know, but still, can they do a little something to make it look different? But then, you know, Anthony's sitting there, you know, helpless in the wheelchair, and Jason's just standing there. That was like...
It was so awesome. Cool.
It was. I'm sure that by Monday morning, it's going to be clipped and being used as people's avatars all over the internet.
So what did you then think of the fact that Carly got all legal rights to the children, Sonny gave them up for her, Alexis is now trying to get them, and he doesn't seem to want to give them up for Christina? How is it that he can do it so willingly for one set of children, of the woman he loves and arguably has the most interaction with those children, as opposed to the one he has the least amount of interaction with, and who is basically being raised by another person almost exclusively?
Well, the reason he gave him up to Michael and Morgan is simply because Jason made it clear to him that if he didn't do it, Carly was going to take off and he was never going to see them again at all, never even have a chance of seeing them again. They were just going to be gone, dead, you know, basically dead to him. this way, Jason blackmailed him into it, so of course he feels better about it because the decision was taken out of his hands. And of course, you know, later on, Sonny's going to turn around and dump this all on Jason because this is all going to be Jason's fault because, you know, Jason blackmailed him into it because that's what it's going to end up being because, you know, Sonny doesn't know how to do anything else besides, you know, break some barware and say, you betrayed me.
He's really good at that, though.
But where does this stand in terms of your guys' opinion of for Alexis and Christina? Because, in my mind, as an Alexis fan, and the fact that if Carly got it, then Alexis sure damn well should have got it, I'm a little bit pissed.
Well, for me, I have never liked the character of Alexis. She annoys me, and I generally don't have a lot of ideas of what's going on in her scenes because I either mute it or fast-forward it. But I feel bad for Christina because I don't feel she has either one of her parents are very stable mentally or emotionally. And so I'm not really sure either one of them should have custody of her personally.
First off, I really, really love having you on podcast, Nikki, and you probably just, you know, upset Luke with your Alexis hate because he loves Alexis, but
I know this.
Oh, well, tough to be him. Anyway, basically, in the end, Jason dropped the ball. When he went and he did this, and of course, you know, we know he's going to do it for Carly because he loves Carly, whatever. But just if he had stopped and thought for 30 seconds, he should have included Christina in the package. Alexis has helped him out over more than one jam over the years. And his party line was that, you know, it's not the kid's fault. You have to keep the kid safe. You have to keep the kid safe. Well, in the end, Christina's as much Sonny's kid as is Morgan. So Jason kind of dropped the ball. Of course, like I said, Sonny's not going to do it for Alexis because he's not being blackmailed into it. And of course, you know, Alexis does herself no favors with the men she likes to socialize with.
Well, if I were her, I would get Jerry to kill Sonny, but that's just me.
Yeah, but every time he tries, he ends up taking out somebody else, so.
Or he just doesn't get the job done, a la Claudia.
Exactly.
That sort of leaves us with Maxie and Sam, or Spinelli, or however you said it was.
Spamarella.
Spamarella.
That's Sam and Spinelli.
Let's discuss Maxie for a moment. Can I just say how awesome it was to see Maxie go in and say, I can get Johnny whenever I want, and I can prove it to you, blah, 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 blah. And then she just went about doing it. It was, and even though she didn't necessarily win the first round, the fact that she was still going after him, awesome. Absolutely awesome. Totally love Maxie.
I mix feelings on Maxie. Sometimes she cracks me up. Sometimes she annoys me. I will have to say, though, anybody who listened to our Girls Night Out podcast can attest that all of us agreed on our nice little oogling of Mr. Johnny Zakara, and I think all of us were going, woohoo, you go, yeah, that's what you do with the whole scene on Friday, where she got him in the chair and just did her thing. So we were very proud of her.
Tina, what did you think?
Well, there's got to be more to this girl's life than just, you know, propping Lulu, please. Please, does everything have to prop Lulu? We know she's Carly 2.0.
I think that's what they're doing with bringing on Jason Cook's character, though, is trying to get Maxie her own little story.
Oh, how much you want to bet that ends up being about Lulu somehow? I swear to God, Lulu is – I hate it when we discuss Lulu because every time I think about Lulu, I think about how much potential she had and then how much she's become Carly, and it just drives me nuts.
Yeah, the show so went the wrong way. She should have become Laura, but she's become Carly, and she's just an infection on the screen.
Again, another waste of acting talent. I don't like how they've written her lately. I'm still a huge fan of hers, so I'm hoping that they can pull it out, you know, and redeem what they've done to her, but it's kind of hard to see where they're going with this whole thing.
Somehow I have a feeling if Laura was on screen, Lulu would not be acting like this.
Oh, no.
Oh, she would. The writers.
No.
The writers
Laura wouldn't do that.
No, she would. Because the writers have it in their minds that they are obsessed with the mob, they're obsessed with Sonny and Carly 2.0, and they are intent on ensuring that that is where this show heads, so that we can have another 10 years or 20 years of Mob, Carly, Sonny storylines just portrayed through Johnny and Lulu instead of Carly and Sonny. That is all it is. And no matter what happens, as we've seen with the Quartermains and the Cassadines and the Webbers and the various other families that have been brought to their knees and lopped off their heads like they're in some sort of guillotine in way back when, anything can be sacrificed at the table of Mob and this freaking cookie-cutter format that they have for it.
Okay, well, if they're going to stick with the Mob thing, then I have a plan. Writers, listen up. Here's what you do. Bring on Helena Cassadine and have her eat everybody alive in the Mob, because she could do it.
Well, I've always said if they really wanted to make things interesting, they should turn Nicholas into the Russian Mob, because anybody who reads about Mob today knows that the Russian Mob is some of the most badass people.
And shush! We don't need any more Mob people but if on the show.
But I would totally love to see Nicholas take out the entire current Mob and just have him be the Mob. A Prince Mobster. How awesome would that twist be? Okay.
So you want to talk about a twist? I want to see a twist where, they're so trying to set up for it, and I know it's not going to happen, but I really would love to see it, is, Sonny keep trying to call Jason, telling Jason what to do and how to do it, and Jason just keeps saying, I don't work for you anymore, you're not involved in business anymore, and then just have Jason take out Sonny. That would be, like, the perfect end to that horrible relationship. What?
That would
maybe,
rock.
Maybe Jason could burn down Sonny's mansion with him in it.
That would work for me too, as long as Jason kills Sonny. I think that would be like a perfect storybook ending to Sonny.
We could have Clink Boom 2.0.
There we go. That was one of the best moments ever in GH history. They can do it again.
And I still don't know what that is when you guys always refer to that. Why is it that I don't understand this?
That's when Lily got in the car, turns the key. Goes boom.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't watching
back.
Right.
Well, okay. It's even more extended than that, because Brenda and Jax were actually clinking their wedding glasses, their champagne glasses.
That is true.
At the same moment that Lily was, getting into the car and the car is exploding. Clink, boom.
Okay. Yep. Well, final topic, we have Sam and Spinelli. And this is going to be one of those few times where I actually say something positive about Sam. So all you Sam lovers can just enjoy it for what it is. But Sam and Spinelli this last week were just absolutely adorable together. Her trying to help him as he was trying to figure out whether or not he had had sex with Maxie, and then to have her tell him that they did not, in fact, have sex was just awesome stuff. And I don't know if it's the fact that Spinelli just makes everything that much more entertaining, but it was great stuff. And I have to give kudos to the character of Sam, because she did something that I actually liked. But enjoy it while it lasts, because this will probably be one of the few times you ever hear me say something positive about Sam. With that in mind, what did you guys think of it?
Well, first and foremost, Daisy Clover, I hope you were listening, because that was,
that was
Sam
like
praise.
Earth-shattering, volcanic, once-in-a-lifetime thing that's going to be uttered. Never again.
Exactly. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, therefore I have nothing to add to it.
Okay.
What would have made that all more entertaining?
Huh.
If Sam had been prancing around in a tutu and a magic wand, seeing Kalamazoo, a Michikaboo, a Be Spinelli's fairy godmother, Sam. We know you have it in ya.
Oh, that would be great.
That's all I got.
On that note, folks, we would encourage you to send your emails about fairy godmothers to podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. Drop by the forums, forums.tvfanonline.com, and comment on this episode, or you can almost also comment on it on the blog. Until next time, we thank you for listening. So long.
Bye-bye.
Bye.